Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians, the first chapter. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is encouraging to me that Paul's prayers are long and complicated too. This is one sentence in the Bible, and actually they cut off the beginning of it and the end. It was so long. But what Paul says here as the second prayer at the beginning of Ephesians directs us to everything we need. It directs us to the Holy Trinity in whom we pray. It shows us the Spirit's great confidence, which Paul prays would be increasing among the Christians in Ephesus. And it shows us the real power of God and urges us not to lose heart, but to be confident in the Lord's power, which is at work for us, his beloved church. First, we learn how to pray from St. Paul, and we learn that we pray to our God, who is the Holy Trinity. As with so many of Paul's writings, the Trinity, the three persons, are present without him even knowing it. They're all together here, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the Father of all glory, would give us the Spirit of wisdom. So it is that our prayers are always addressed to the Father in Jesus' name, as he has told us to pray, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Second, we see that Paul in this prayer, like in so many, gives thanks to God for what he sees in his fellow Christians. The phrase just before our text is that he gives thanks to God for the faith that he has heard about from the Ephesians and for the love that they have shown toward the saints. Paul is always listening for the Word of God and the Spirit of God to be at work. And he recognizes it in faith that confesses Jesus in his name and in faith that is active in love toward the neighbor. And then thirdly, he prays something for his fellow Christians. He prays that the Holy Spirit would be at work, or as he puts it, that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, would give them the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that is Christ. It may seem strange to pray that the Holy Spirit would be given to us. We have had the Holy Spirit ever since our baptisms. He was poured out on us generously through that washing of regeneration. You are not spiritless Christians. But we see that with the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, it is never a matter of one and done, but always a matter of more. He prays that the Spirit would be a gift. And that is not just one time, but constantly, that he would continue to come to us, which happens by the Word of God, as you are hearing it right now, and that he would always be working more and more in us. Specifically, Paul prays here for the Christians that they would have further depth in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would strengthen what is already ours to make it be overflowing and abounding. He says that he wants them to have their hearts enlightened. This is faith. This is what holy baptism has done. It has brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ, and yet we are always growing in this word from the Holy Spirit. Growing into a knowledge that is way more than just some head details, some thing that's forgotten that we could look up online if we ever need to, probably don't. But this is the knowledge that pervades everything and leads us and directs all of our actions. He wants us to know three things. What is the hope to which we have been called? What are the riches of the glorious inheritance that are given to us and all the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? What is in common in all of these is that it won't be easily used up or solved or set back on the shelf. It is glorious, it is immeasurable, it is rich. This is how the Spirit is always given to us, richly, fully in baptism, fully in the Word of God, and yet continuously. So that it may make a difference for us, so that He who is the guarantee of our adoption as sons and heirs of Christ may also encourage us as sons and heirs. First, that we would not be hopeless, as so many are in this world, but that we would look forward to eternal life, a life that makes every workaday moment of life pale in comparison. The promise of the resurrection that restores all things that are broken and destroyed, all those who have been robbed from us, all those that we miss will be returned to us at the last day in Christ. And we, in our bodies, will rise to a newness of life, free from all pain and death and suffering and all of the effects of sin. He says that in the meantime, we are not alone. We are part of a glorious gathering of saints full of the riches of Christ Jesus. This is the church, right? We have a glorious inheritance that is already ours, sure and certain. And lastly, if He is giving the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, that means that we are not lacking anything in this world. Now, this is the final thing that Paul is speaking about here when he talks about the mighty working of God's immeasurable greatness, His power, His might. And this is exciting because this is power and might given to us, His church, together with His fellow saints. What could it possibly be? Maybe it is the word that rends the mountains and destroys the rocks like the prophet Elijah saw. Maybe it's that great word that spoke into the darkness and the void and brought forth creation, which no one has yet duplicated. No. The great working of God's might is that He raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand. Now, how about that? That this power which overcame death, our great enemy, and this power that would elevate our human flesh to God's right hand, His majesty, full of all of His glorious authority in heaven and on earth, that this power would also be at work in us and in His church. This is also something that galvanizes us to think of our Lord's resurrection and know that it will be our resurrection also. And to remember that He has ascended on high, and that means that He is ruling over His church. He is ruling over the entire world, working all things together for the good of those who love Him, you and I, who are called according to His name and into His hope. This, then, is the confidence that we ought to always bear with us as we go about our work, as we go about challenging tasks, as we go about the simple daily things of caring for our families that sometimes threaten to overwhelm us also. Our Lord is not aloof. Our Lord is in charge. Our Lord is seated at the right hand. He has all things in subjection to him, even if we are not able to see it yet. The devil, his demons, every power and authority and dominion are under the Lord's watchful eye. And he works all things together for us, his church, his own beloved body and bride. Therefore, there is nothing to fear, but we also should imitate Paul in bringing confident petitions, thanksgivings for everything that the Lord is already at work in among us and our friends and our fellow Christians throughout the world, so we may not feel alone or hopeless or that we lack anything. We have the Spirit, we have our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.